You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, and it's time to have a Main Street Eats session with Sue Balcom.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're all stuck inside, so we might as well eat a bunch of carbs, right?
Well, you know, it's not been really winter here yet. So it's kind of like I've had this craving for lettuce instead of bread, but it is, you know, time to start thinking about the soups and stews. And there's all this talk about sourdough bread. Everybody that got quarantined for COVID wanted to learn how to make sourdough bread. While I love sourdough bread, there are so many other really good accompaniments to soups and stews and whatever you're doing, roast beef in the wintertime, that I thought we should discuss a few options to sourdough in case that's not your bailiwick.
Okay, let's go there. What's number one for you today?
Well, I actually am a biscuit freak, but that's it. Biscuits and cornbread. Oh my gosh. They have got to be my two favorite things. And I have this recipe for cornbread that fills a 10 by 13 inch pan, and it's kind of cakey. But oh my gosh, if you have ever made it in a cast iron skillet, it is to die for. It gets all crispy and crunchy, and it is very easy to make. And you can certainly use the recipe on the back of the cornmeal box.
Well, my mother made cornbread in the skillet. She was a Southern belle, you know, and that crust was the best part of the cornbread.
Absolutely. And then afterwards, you know, like if you make enough for leftovers, I just cut a piece and put it in the oven until the whole outside is crusty. That is super good. And I think my aunt had a recipe for what they called Johnny cakes, which they kind of fried.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that, Doug? They kind of fried either the cornbread or the cornbread mixture the next day.
It was a little bit of a variation on a pancake.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. I've not tried that yet, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't be delightful. So when we make chili, I always make cornbread to go with that. And then when I just feel like doing nothing, I make biscuits and eat jelly with those. Mile high biscuits. Yes, biscuits and jelly for supper tonight. Yoo-hoo!
Do you use a self-rising flour with biscuits?
Absolutely not. They're baking powder biscuits, and you can make them with sour milk or curdled whey or any kind of acid. You know, it's an acid baking soda, baking powder combination that makes biscuits rise. And here's a little biscuit hint for you. Use a proper biscuit cutter. Because if you use a glass like my mother used to use, you're crimping the edges of that dough and it doesn't rise. So don't twist when you cut them out and use a really good biscuit cutter. Tip of the day. Ask for one for Christmas, for crying out loud. It's getting there, isn't it? Even though we haven't gotten any snow yet.
It'll fit in the stocking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so then besides that, there's all of these breads that you can make with yeast in them. Yeast in a combination of flours, you know, like baguettes are long, skinny French bread recipes. They're simply yeast, salt, water, and flour. If there's any more ingredients than that, they're not considered French bread. So find an authentic recipe, very simple to make. I actually have a recipe for 1 hour hamburger buns that I've done. Like I'll come home from work at 5:30 and I will whip up fresh buns and sloppy Joe mix. And it's like, yay, heaven on a plate. Yeast breads, you can either make fast or you can make them slow. Sourdough, of course, you know, is one of those slow rising breads.
How do you get your baguette, Sue, to be crispy on the outside? Because that's kind of a high hydration technique, is it not?
Correct. Don't squirt your pizza stone when it's hot in the oven with cold water. But there's two ways to make them nice and crispy. And that is to bake them on a stone, and you do squirt them occasionally with cold water. Be careful that you don't break your stone. Or when you put them in the oven, drop a tray of ice cubes in the bottom of your oven they'll melt a little slower and keep that moisture in your oven a little bit longer. My new range, which I substituted out for my old one just recently that we got fixed, is actually a HydroClean oven. And so that bottom tray is made for water when you actually clean the oven. So I can't imagine how wonderful that will be for making a high hydration bake. Also, a little bit higher temperature than normal. If you're baking a sweet bread, like banana bread or a brioche, anything that has eggs and milk in it is considered an enriched dough. And that you have to actually bake at a lower temperature because they are softer, they're more marshmallowy in the inside. But if you're like me, man, the crustier the better. So I do my other breads at a little higher temperature and my sourdough at 500 degrees initially and then down to 425 or so. So let's say you're having company and you have some French bread recipe that you're using. You can make those into breadsticks so easily by rolling that dough out and using a pizza cutter, one of those round, rolly pizza cutters, cut them into strips. You can twist them, you can butter them, you can put Parmesan on them, you can put garlic on them. Kids love breadsticks for some reason. They're soft and they're dunkable. I think that's what it is.
They're also swords at the table.
Swords, yes!
Well, they're also breads you can add stuff to, right? Like challah bread or focaccia, you know, things that you can flavor up that's not just flour and water and salt.
Right, because basically when you're doing a yeasted bread, there isn't as much flavor in that method as there is in the sourdough bread, which is why I think a lot of people prefer those fermented doughs. But definitely, if you're doing focaccia or you could probably do with any kind of bread. You know, add dried tomatoes or pepperoni or, you know, now you're kind of getting into that pizza realm there. But I use, I put jalapenos in my cornbread quite often. And then my mom used to take like bun dough and she would brown hamburger and onions and sauerkraut. And then she would pack that inside of a roll, let it rise and bake it. And you have a krautbrötchen, which is like a meal in itself. Delightful. Mm.
This time of year is a very good time to be talking about challah bread. This shows up oftentimes in a Hanukkah spread. What do we know about challah bread?
Not how to pronounce it, so I'm glad you did.
I think so. Maybe it's challah, but I feel like it's H. And please, someone out there, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. And I would welcome that from anybody out there in radio land. If I say something that doesn't set well with them, just let me know. I'll do some research. But that bread is symbolic of the manna that fell from heaven when the Jewish people were rescued from Egypt by Moses and his brother Aaron. They wandered around out there and they were like really hungry. And so they were begging for food and God sent the manna from heaven. And so in remembrance of that, there's a lot of rich Jewish symbolism in bread in the first place, but they use some poppy seeds and sesame seeds sprinkled on top. And they also plate it because the plating kind of represents love in that. And it's kind of a soft, chewy bread also, which is delightful. And, you know, you don't expect to be perfect the first time you make these funky breads. Like my pita bread, I have trouble getting it to make pockets.
Oh, mm-hmm. Me too.
But I've never not liked it. You know what I mean? It's like hard to screw up bread. And there are many cookbooks out there. Of course, mine are ancient already, that have like breads of the world or, you know, things like that. And at Christmas time, there's specific breads that the Germans made, stolen, and other cultures where they incorporated a little bit of dried fruit in them, because during the winter months in the olden days, they didn't have delivery trucks that were bringing in fresh fruit from all other countries. They only had dry fruit. So at Christmas time, you'll find a few more things that have dried fruit in them and maybe frosting on top of them too, which you wouldn't eat with your chili necessarily, but they're fun to practice on anyway.
Well, I love pumpernickel and rye bread, and I love that kind of that flavor. It's so different. It's but I've never made it. I've only bought it.
Well, here's a common misconception about rye bread. I do a fresh ground rye sourdough because I love to grind flour, and with a KitchenAid mixer, you can buy a flour attach or a grinder attachment to make your own flour. It's really worth it because you can store whole berry rye or whole berry wheat for 2 or 3 years and then grind it as you use it. And the thing about rye bread is that it's not that dark, dark color that you find in the grocery stores. That's colored. It's colored with charcoal or colored with cocoa. So real rye flour makes kind of a whole wheat looking bread, maybe even lighter at sometimes, unless you can get a dark rye wheat, which is a little harder over here. The Europeans have really beautiful rye breads over there, and they have wonderful dark rye flours, which I think maybe King Arthur would be a good source for that. But the flavor is phenomenal. And you can add caraway seed to that. Do you like yours with or without caraway, Doug?
With.
Yes, that's a cool flavor, but I think it's one that you have to be led into, let's say. Maybe it's not so common, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know where I got all my good taste from growing up like I did with flour and water meals. I read a lot, I guess.
What is soda bread?
Oh my gosh. The Irish have this great recipe for soda bread out there. And so when you're really, really in a hurry, soda bread can be whooped up as fast as a biscuit recipe can because it's kind of the same. It doesn't use yeast. So it's crunchier on the outside and it doesn't raise as much. It's not as fluffy, but it is so versatile. You use a soft wheat flour, buttermilk and baking soda again, are kind of what causes it to raise. So there's a little bit of art to it, but I've never met a soda bread either that I didn't like, no matter how flat it turned out. Traditionally, the Irish would slash it across, put an X across it there that had some sort of significance against the devil, you know, like it was to bring safety to your house and to the people who ate it. But yes, find a good recipe for Irish soda bread. Yum, yum, yum.
Okay. Well, we've been around the world with bread with Sue Belcom. Thanks, Sue, for joining us today for Main Street Eats.
Thank you, guys.